Good morning. We're continuing to go through Corinthians. So we're at chapter 3 of the first letter on divisions in the church. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? After all, what is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building.
Thanks very much, Damien. Do keep that passage open in front of you if you've got a Bible to hand. It's lovely to see so many people in the room, and I know a few are visiting with us, so we hope you have a lovely time as you're gathered and seeing friends and family, and I'm really glad to be able to welcome you into church today. My name's George Hawkins. I lead the staff team here. Just one more thing to add to those different notices that James gave to you. The restriction changes from this week have not made an awful lot of difference for exactly how we do church. I'm really glad that groups have been able to gather and watch together inside rather than outside. That's great today. We are looking at options we might have to just increase the capacity a little bit more within the building, so pray for us as we think that through. And then we'll wait and see what happens toward the end of June. Again, that's uncertain as to what that'll be. We hope that'll give us more capacity and more ability to be able to do some of the things that we love to do. Just want to put it on your radar that as we begin to open things up, that we will need increasing numbers of people to serve. Some of you have served in the past and have stopped over this past year. We've not needed so many people. Some of us haven't been coming into the building to serve in that way. But we're really looking for people now to begin to at least let us know that as we open things up, you'll be able to serve in that way. Lots of different opportunities to do that. So please do get in touch with the church office or respond to those messages that come through. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into this passage together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't just come to faith through him and then move on to other things, but we are circling round and round the cross. We're circling round and round your son. We're getting to know him better. And we pray that this morning will be part of that process. Lord, grow us through your word. Challenge us where we're not growing. Help us to see the process by which growth happens. Father, help us to be soft and responsive to the things that you would say. Lord, we're here to be instructed from your word and transformed by your spirit. So please make that growth happen as we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a couple of weeks' time, my parents are due to visit us for the first time, certainly in a long time, first time this year, face-to-face. I think the last meeting I had with them was just before Christmas. I'm sure some of you did this, and you did the kind of present exchange. We met in a sort of car park outside Grantham and exchanged presents and had coffee and sat in the car and put the windows down, all very nice. I haven't seen the family particularly for some time, getting on towards a year now. So I want to give you a little prediction of what will happen when my mum particularly walks in through the door. She might not do this now because she might watch this before she comes in 2 weeks' time, but let's assume she doesn't watch. My prediction is this, that one of the first things she'll say within the first minute or so is, Harry, you have really grown. Harry, you are so much taller now. Because this past year, Harry has really grown, really quite tall. Now, when I say quite tall, he's not here this morning. You can't kind of check around and see. But, you know, we're talking relatively speaking. The Hawkins genes aren't tall genes. But he is now the tallest in the family, much to the sort of annoyance of his sister, who's a little bit shorter than he is. I guess it's going to be one of the fun things about coming back to church together and seeing people and seeing how they have grown and changed. And I guess we hope for the kids that they've grown up a little bit, that they're a little bit bigger, a little bit taller. If you think I've grown, please don't let me know, because I should assume that's only in one particular direction. You can let that go if that's what you're thinking. So growth is what we're talking about today. That's our subject. We're talking not just about growing physically, but growing spiritually. And it's important we know what we're talking about when we're talking about spiritual growth. What growth is good? What growth is bad? How growth happens? How we expect it to take place? And the start of 1 Corinthians 3 certainly gets us into the subject of growth. We've seen over the past few weeks that Paul has been writing to this messy church, to a divided church, who particularly are dividing over different leaders, and they're ending up in little factions within the church over which of the leaders they particularly rated. And Paul is going to challenge them here in this start about their lack of growth, about their spiritual immaturity, that this dividing over leaders, he's going to say, look, you're acting like spiritual babies as you do that. And he's really going to kind of give them a kick up the backside about that. And we're also going to see the part that we play in the growth that God expects, how we help one another to grow, and the part that God plays in all of that. So that's where we're heading this morning. Ellie and I were talking this week about sermon introductions for some reason. You know, that's the exciting life of living in a pastor's house. That's the kind of conversation you have. And she said to me, look, just tell us why it's worth listening for the next 25 to 30 minutes. Just set that out. So why is it worth listening for the next 25 to 30 minutes? It's worth listening because some of us have stopped growing. Because some of us over the past year or maybe longer have come to a bit of a halt, have stagnated, are not really growing and are not really progressing. And I hope this passage will be a challenge to us to not stay in that place, but to get growing again. But I hope it will be an encouragement as well, an encouragement to see how God uses us in each other's lives and how God is the one at work growing us. That's why 1 Corinthians is critical today, a challenge to us to grow and an encouragement that growth can and will happen. First then, the challenge to make sure we are growing. If you look in verse 1, Paul doesn't sort of mince his words with them. He says that they are people who are still worldly. He describes them as mere infants in Christ. Both of those descriptions, worldly and infants in Christ, are descriptions really of their immaturity. He says they are still worldly. They've come out of the world. They've come into the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit is within them, and yet they're not living by the Spirit. They're not keeping in step with him. And they are infants. Like, at the very least, at this stage, they should be spiritual teenagers, but they're still acting like spiritual toddlers. And it kind of begs the question, to be honest, it begs the question as you go through the letter and you see what they're like. Like, are they really Christian? Are they actually Christian? Well, he does call them, notice verse 1, he calls them brothers and sisters. And he calls them infants, but he calls them infants in Christ. They are Christian, but they haven't really made the progress that Paul was longing to see. There's little evidence of growth and maturity amongst them. Corinthians, you haven't grown as you should. You haven't grown in the way that I'd hoped. You're people of the Spirit, but you're not living that way. So he sort of drops this in straight away with them. You know, you've got the name Christian, you're a member of Corinth Evangelical Church, you're on the Connect team, you attend Globe and take part in that ministry, you're well plugged into the 20s to 30s, but I couldn't address you as spiritual. Just haven't grown as you should. And that's a little bit miserable, isn't it? When someone isn't as mature as they really should be. I don't know if when you were young you used to have pictures up on your bedroom wall of your sort of heroes. You know, maybe your favourite players or your favourite team. Depending on your kind of generation and your ilk, you know, that might have been Bobby Moore and Bobby Charlton. I'm looking at a few who might have had Bobby Moore and Bobby Charlton on their walls. Or maybe it was Steven Gerrard or David Beckham. Or today it might be Harry Kane or Phil Foden maybe up on your wall. You know, it might be a Forest player or a County player. I'm assuming not, to be honest, that that's the kind of hero you've got up on your wall. But or it might have been pictures of your favourite boy band. You know, in my day, which was a long way back, you know, the choice was really for the girls between, you were either fans of Duran Duran or Wham. That was your kind of 50-50 choice. A few years later, it was New Kids on the Block. Now, I've told you about New Kids on the Block before. I told you about the fact that Ellie had a life-size cardboard cutout of the band. But imagine now if, like, she'd still kept that, and not just kept it in the loft for posterity, but she kept that and we kind of had it in our dining room, and that was still out. I think you'd be saying, that's a bit concerning, isn't it? She got quite overexcited at just trying to find this picture. And, you know, I think she sort of wished she'd kept the cardboard cutout, to be honest. But you would be concerned. There are things we grow out of over time. That was my birthday recently. I got a 1,000-piece jigsaw. You'd have been concerned if I'd have had a 15-piece jigsaw, wouldn't you? You know, there are things we grow out of. We don't want to go back to living in that world again. Not to dress like we're seven again. I wouldn't want to wear the matching hoodies, white hoodies with hippos on that my brother and I used to wear when we were six and two. Mum, we really don't want another one of those, thanks very much. When people behave like infants or children and they're adults, it's just not the way things should be, is it? You know, we don't want the immature teenager where we have to say to them, do I need to treat you like a five-year-old? That's not where we want to be. And that's what Paul is seeing. He's seeing spiritual immaturity when they should have grown up by now. That's what he's seeing. So let me ask you today, does any of this kind of ring any bells? Is this you? You can sort of look back and think, yeah, I became a Christian a few years ago now, but actually don't really think that I've grown very much. You sort of know that's the case. You know that's the reality today. When we're acting like spiritual babies, that's a tragic thing. So how do we know? How do we know if we're growing? How do we know if we're maturing? Spiritual growth is not quite as easy to recognise, is it, as physical growth? Somebody grows from 5'3" to 6', like we see that, we know that. Baby moves from crawling to standing to walking and talking, we see that. It's evident, it's obvious. But how do we recognise spiritual growth? Well, I think here Paul talks about two things that help us, two indicators of growing maturity. First is our appetite, our hunger, our passion for God's truth and knowing God more. And second, it's how we regard and relate to other people. Those two things, our hunger, our appetite for God's truth, and how we regard others. Look down at the appetite for God's truth. He says in verse 2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And here's the killer blow, indeed you're still not ready. You know, milk was absolutely fine to start with, wasn't it? But I expected to be able to give you meat by now, and yet you still can't take it. It's just milk a baby can manage, isn't it? Like many of you will know that that is the case much better than I do. But I read somebody say that milk is food that is already digested by somebody else. That's why it's easy to manage. That's why a baby can take it. Now, you look forward to the day with your little ankle biter when it's not just milk, but when they progress. You know, you're longing for that day when they progress to the pumpkin mash in the little jars. Like, you're just longing for that day because that's going to be so exciting. Callum, I should warn you that the nappies are not so straightforward at that stage, just to give you that tip. I won't say any more than that. But you look forward to the next stage. You look forward to the day when milk isn't enough, when that won't fill them up, when they're looking for something more solid, when they're able to cope with more. You want to see that development. And Paul is saying, look, you're not ready for more. You're still babies. You can't take any more. Now, I don't think he's saying this. I don't think he's saying, I want to move on from the basics about Christ and him crucified and take you off into deeper things. He's already got them back in chapter 1, focus back on Christ and the cross. He's taken them back there, but it's not about moving on from the cross, as we saw in the opening text this morning. It's going deeper into those things. It's understanding Christ in greater depth. It's knowing the fullness of what it means, that what Christ did. It's understanding that in greater, appreciating that more. Growing in Christ, not away from him. But they've just gone nowhere. They just weren't ready. So what is your spiritual appetite like today? Are you happy with just being spoon-fed? Are you happy with just staying on the milk? having the least input possible that you can sort of tick off your conscience, but not really discover much more about Jesus. We settle for milk. We settle for shallow understanding. You know, some of us today would be experts in all kinds of other knowledge and all kinds of other fields, and yet we don't have an appetite to know more about God. That's not the way our relationships progress, is it? If we have those relationships where we never go any deeper, those relationships don't develop. They don't last. Mustn't be those who say, well, I'll go for the minimum I can get away with about knowing God, rather than discovering the depths of the knowledge of God, of the wonderful grace of his gospel. So where's your appetite today? Where's your hunger at? Are you happy with scraps? Are you happy with being spoon-fed? That's the test of growth. Not just are you consuming God's truth, not just have you grown by it, but are you still hungry for it? Are you still eager for it? Are you still passionate? Are you wanting to know God and his gospel more? The other test of growth is how you view other people. So spiritual appetite, but how you view other people. And he uses another description of immaturity here when he says that they are worldly. Worldly. And what does that look like? Well, verse 3 tells us what it looks like. There is jealousy and quarrelling, verse 3. Struck me this morning, this is a kind of a bit of a feature of how kids often work, isn't it, as they interact. You know, they steal toys, they quickly argue and fall out with one another, perhaps. There's more chance of obvious infighting. And he's saying here that that's what's going on. You are pulling each other down, you're conflicting together, you're bickering together, you line up alongside these different leaders, and you brag about one and pull down somebody else. You overlook to that person to be everything for you. Like, just as we do that as kids, don't we? We make everything about this one person who is magnificent and we can't sort of see any flaws in them. It's the same kind of thing. And he says that is worldly. You are overrating your chosen leaders. And then you're underrating others. You attack those who don't take the same view as you. So how do we know if we're mature? Well, when we don't pin our hopes on one other person as being our saviour, our spiritual guru who is going to be our rescuer for us. You know, even if that's somebody godly, even if that's a godly Christian man or woman we know. And why not? Because they'll always disappoint us. Every other Christian you know will always disappoint you. Doesn't mean we can't be encouraged by them. Doesn't mean we can't be helped by them. But we don't put our weight, our hope on any of those. So we know we're not mature when we idolize others and we make them everything. Or when we brag about leaders and those that we identify with. How many churches suffer because somebody thinks they're mature but loves to complain or criticize some of the leaders and brag about others? So I want to know if you're growing this morning. I want to know if spiritual maturity is where you're heading. Well, what's your appetite? What's your hunger like for knowing God and his word, for going deeper in the gospel? And how are you interacting with others at the moment? What does that look like? Is it quarrelling? Is it jealousy? Is it putting people up on pedestals? Is it tearing others down? Or is it peacemaking? Is it unity? Is it appreciating without idolising? So the challenge first to make sure we are growing. Secondly, the encouragement that growth can happen. Move on to verse 5. Let's see how growth happens. Because I trust this morning we don't want to be immature. I trust that's not where we want to be. I trust we want to be living by the Spirit. So how are we going to grow? Now, these verses don't give us a full recipe for growth. They're not everything that could be said. But there are two big things here that are really important for us to grow. Two vital ingredients. And the first one is this. The first ingredient is, let's talk about the input of others. The input of others. As he comes to this, he sets out the sort of reality here. He immediately doesn't want to get us carried away about the input of others. We do grow as we have the input of other people. But there's a note of realism right up front when he says, look, verse 5, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? They're all getting carried away by these different leaders. You know, we've had Paul here, or I really rate Apollos. I'm really excited by these guys as leaders and pastors and all the rest. And Paul says, what after all is Apollos? What is Paul? It doesn't even say who is. He says, what are they? Like he minimizes their sense of significance. He doesn't puff himself up, or Apollos here. He says, we are not the big deal. Yes, I'm going to show you that we're involved in the growth process, absolutely, but we are not the significant ones. We, notice verse 5, we are only servants. We're not the critical ones. We're under the authority of the Lord. He's the one. Paul says, please don't make it about us. You don't make a lot of the servant. You make everything about the master. I read this week about one minister who was at a retirement event as he came to the end of his ministry, and person after person stood up to pay tribute to his various qualities. And when he finally stood up and he had the chance to speak, this is what he said. He said, you don't thank the donkey, you thank the master who loaned the donkey to you. Now, there's a really right place for thanks. We did that last Sunday night with John Goodwin. There's a right place for thanks, but the praise is always the Lord's. The praise is always his. Now, those who speak God's word to us, those who minister to us, whether it's in public ways or private ways, whether it's one-to-one discipling, whether it's small group leaders, whether it's those who are walking the Christian journey with us, there is a role to play. They are assigned a task. Paul plays down the kind of significance, but he doesn't say there isn't a task to do. And it is vital. So verse 6, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it. There's a real task to do. There's a service to carry out. We are involved. There is a responsibility. And that responsibility is plant good seeds in the lives of others, water the seed. And it's good to see here that we have different tasks described as planting or watering here. Paul never says in any way through this whole section, as he's trying to talk about them not overrating their leaders, well, look, Apollos has done a bad job, or I didn't do a very good job, or this was the best ministry, this was the most significant. Paul doesn't want them following him. He recognised, though, different parts of the process. So he literally planted the church. He sowed the seed, but it needed watering, it needed developing, and Apollos was the one who came along and did that. We've got a part to play. Some of us play that part at the beginning of somebody's spiritual journey. Some of us play that part a little way down the line. Some in a really formal capacity. Some as a Christian friend. Different places, different responsibilities, different parts. But one thing I want you to see here is none of us fully responsible. Involved in a little piece, but not everything with somebody. I think in a church like ours where people are often here for a while and then they move on frequently, it's really good to get hold of that. What that means is you don't need to be continually dependent on the first person who ever discipled you. You know, maybe you stay in touch with them. Maybe they're involved with you, but maybe not. My encouragement is benefit from those the Lord has placed around you now. The people God has placed in your life at this point. Don't always be sort of looking back for the help of the sower when there's now somebody else doing the watering. Appreciate that different ministry that's happening. Let me say, if you've moved away and you're still tuning into Beeston, that is okay for you to do as a supplement, but not as a substitute. Let me say to you, my prayer for you is that you'll get involved locally where you are, to be connected into local church where you are, and let other people be doing the watering. But I guess on the flip side of this, some of us here, as we minister to people, as we're involved with different people, play your part in the process, do that, but also be prepared to let people go and move on. Be willing to accept that somebody else is now involved in that ministry to them. Now, we have people here who come and they will move back to countries where we'll perhaps never get the opportunity to meet them again face to face in the flesh. But we can trust them to God's hand. We can trust them to somebody else to do the watering. We don't bear an ultimate responsibility as others move elsewhere. So we carry out the role God has given us in the moment and the time and opportunity we have. But it's one purpose. It's a joined up purpose. So verse 8, planting or watering, early stages, late stages. Maybe we're involved with some people as teenagers or some as students, young adults, later into life. Whatever stage, it's one purpose. And that purpose ultimately is to present everybody mature in Christ. It's about seeing people progress. Some of you have moved here in later years, and you have known the Lord's work growing you through other people and other churches over many years. And we are so thankful for that growth that you've seen and experienced already. And our heart here is to continue that work, not replace that work, continue that work. But please don't think of this as a place that you come to for your spiritual retirement, where you get to put your feet up and you just stop growing because you've grown a lot in the past. Be ready for fresh watering. Be ready to keep growing. You know, some of you know have come and felt the freshness of somewhere new and benefiting and growing in new ways, and that's a great thing. And we're really glad about that. So we're involved in each other's growth. We need each other to grow. We need the input of others. And so let me say with that, some of us would rather try and grow without help from others. We'd rather do all the growing on our own. We'd rather it just happens me and the Spirit. But let me say to you, that is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. You cannot thrive spiritually outside of church community. I'm absolutely convinced by that. To say, well, I will stop going to church, I'll stop being in community with other Christians, I'm not going to have other people speaking into my life, that is to take a backward step in terms of growth. And maybe you say to me this morning, well, I'm tuning in online to church, and I do that when I think it'll be helpful, but generally I'm okay on my own. It's easier not to do church with other people. Guys, if that's where you're at, you're consuming what you want, but it's not the growth environment God has designed for us. What to see here, he says in verse 9, that we are God's field. It's a field, not individual pot plants all dotted around. It's a field. Later on, he'll talk about the body. Imagine if the body sort of tries to grow independently, or one part grows and the rest doesn't. That's not a body, is it? The body grows together. There's organic connection together. We will only grow as we get the input of others. We grow with people speaking the truth in love. We grow in relationship with others. We grow as we walk side by side together. So the first ingredient, if you want to grow today, the first ingredient is get the input of others. Be involved with others. But the second thing, the second key ingredient I want to talk about is that the output, the growth, is in God's hands. The inputs are absolutely vital, but the output is down to the Lord. So look at what the text says, verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. But if you missed it, verse 7, again, neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but God makes things grow. It's both really humbling and really encouraging for me to know that I have never made one of you grow in your spiritual life, ever. I may have planted some seed, I may have watered that, but every single centimetre of spiritual growth that you have known has come by the work of the Spirit in your life. That is wonderfully liberating to know that. I hope you feel that as you disciple others, as you walk with others, as you see others, that person in your Bible study group who is really not making the progress that you'd love to see, or that person who you're connected to who seems to be stuck or slipping back in their spiritual walk, your responsibility is sow and water, speak truth, love, care, challenge, but your best inputs do not guarantee a good output. Your best, your very best inputs do not guarantee a good output. The growth is down to the Lord. Like we all imagine this morning, don't we, that a healthy church will be growing numerically. But the growth is the Lord's. Church might be doing all the right things and the congregation shrink and the member numbers reduce. And people don't make progress because the growth is the Lord's. It's up to him. I was reading Isaiah 6 this week when Isaiah is commissioned and he is told to minister to people knowing that they won't listen, that he'd be hardening them and not softening them. That was his reality. The best inputs do not guarantee the outputs. Now that's encouraging as some of you think about working with young people or as you think about your own kids. You could be the perfect Christian parent. You could be the best youth leader ever. And those teenagers or those kids could reject faith. One of my favourite quotes about parenting is, we can ruin our kids less than we think, and we can stamp them for success less than we'd like. That's our reality. Growth is in the Lord's hands. It's down to him. The can't make sure we get all the right formula and then growth is guaranteed. Doesn't mean, of course, we don't urgently pray for growth. That, of course. Of course, we long for it, we look for it. This isn't an excuse for us to stay personally immature in our own lives, but growth is in God's hands. I hope that's freeing for you today. I hope that gives you a sense of just sort of like taking a breath today, that we can do what the Lord assigns for us and then trust him with the results. Like, think about the way that Jesus ministered. He ministered in the best way possible for 3 years with a group of disciples, and one rejected him totally. The results are in his hands. I think it helps us with our definitions of success. What is success? It's faithfulness on our part. It's teaching Christ, speaking his word, loving people well. Success is not ultimately whether people grow or not. Of course, we're passionate and long for that. But that's not the measure of success. That's down to him. It really helps us prioritize prayer in our ministries, as we're relating to people, as we're walking with people, as we're looking to minister to them. Like, it's essential. We must be asking God to work. Don't trust in good sowing. Don't trust in good seeds. Pray. Pray for soft, responsive hearts. Pray for good soil. There's a story told of Charles Spurgeon, who somebody came to the church and they said sort of like, why has it grown so much? What's been going on here? And he sort of took them right down to the basement and he opened the door and there was a group of people praying. We look to God rather than the right techniques or the right people. You know, even prayer doesn't in itself guarantee growth. It's not that we do enough prayer and then growth happens. It's not that prayer is the sort of the magic key. Prayer says, God, we can't do this without you. That's what prayer is about. God, you must be the one who brings growth and change. Prayer is us saying, God, we can't make a single person grow 1 centimetre. So our responsibility, the best inputs we can, that's our responsibility. But unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers work in vain. Unless the Lord sends a harvest, there won't be any harvest. Guys, do you want this to be a growing church? Do you want to see people coming to faith? Do you want to see people growing up in their faith? Do you want to see people maturing? Do you long for others in the different groups and ministries, your friends, to have that? Well, it's the Spirit's work. It's down to what God does. Let's give the best inputs we can. Let's walk with one another. But we're longing for God to bring the growth. Why don't we ask him to do that now? Let's pray together. As we just pray, maybe as we've been thinking through this, you've been challenged to ask, am I growing? Am I progressing? Are there signs of maturity? Or is there a lot of immaturity in my life at the moment? Is there a lack of hunger? Is there lots of conflict and ways in which I'm relating to others that's not good? Maybe as you look at this, you realise the responsibility you have to be part of this process, to input into the lives of others. Maybe you're recognising that you've been avoiding that. You've not wanted to take the input of others. You've wanted to grow independently. And you need to come back to be more invested into community and listening to the inputs God will give you. Maybe it's been encouraging just to see that it's God who brings the growth. That people who've been on your heart where there hasn't been growth. Maybe you've been feeling guilty about things you did do or didn't do. Maybe this word is encouraging today to see that growth is in God's hands and that we need to come more urgently to pray that God will be at work and not trusting in other things. Lord, we commit ourselves to you as we seek to grow. Lord, help us to be responsible personally for the growth that you long for, and you've given us all these great inputs. Lord, we've got an open Bible in our own language. We've got the ability to gather together. We're part of church family. We're part of ministries. Father, we're walking this journey with other believers. We're so privileged, and help us to take those inputs. But please bring growth through them. We don't want to trust automatically that we do good things and therefore there's great outputs. Lord, you must bring the growth. It's down to you by your Spirit. We pray that will be the case. And we pray those things now in Jesus' name. Amen.